Good evening, church family. What a great joy it is to come together this evening and to pray and seek the face of the Lord and to worship Him. If you have your Bibles, please can you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I was asked to prepare a short message, and so I'm just going to look at one verse this evening, and hopefully we will have plenty enough time this evening for some fellowship this evening after the message. One verse that I trust will encourage us, even as we head into holiday Bible club mode. I think the theme is discover, and this evening I thought, well, what a great theme to look at as we discover something of the riches of Christ. And so if you have your Bible, the verse I want us to consider this evening is verse 8. There we read, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Only so far in the reading of God's Word. May He reform our lives to its truth. I know we've prayed, but allow me to pray one more time for us. Indeed, Lord, we want to thank You and praise You this evening for Your many, many mercies, for the way in which You have been so kind to us. How each of us can look back perhaps to that moment, as each Christian you can look back to that moment in which You plucked us out of darkness and drew us into Your marvelous light. As we've been praying for the Bible Club, I can think back, dear Lord, to how You saved me out of a Bible Club and perhaps many even here this evening. How as kids we were introduced to the beauty and the wonder of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How, Father, how we were told of Your love and the joy of Your Spirit. And how we were led along to know wonderful truths of You and how You plucked us out of darkness into Your light. And even as we pray for the Bible Club this season, in 2 weeks' time, we pray, dear Lord, that You would again save, that You'd bring many young children, boys and girls, into a saving knowledge of Yourself. That they would come to behold the wonders and the beauties and the glories and the joys of Jesus. We pray that You would do this. We pray that even as the various leaders give themselves to the Bible Club and the preparation, that they would be enthralled with You, that they would serve out of love, and, dear Lord, that they would know Your enablement and strength as they serve. And even this evening, as we consider this verse, and we consider truths that are beyond our comprehension, we do pray that You would fill our hearts again with awe and wonder. We pray that even truths that we might have heard many a time before, that tonight they would be pressed in a fresh way into our hearts. Holy Spirit, would You help us to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ once more as we seek to serve Him and honor Him in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every science takes its dignity from the object of its study. That's what the ancient philosophers often taught, that every science based on the object of its study finds nobility. The more noble the object of study, the more noble and dignified the knowledge. So, for example, some people study the stars. And what a noble study that is as you consider how vast and grand the heavens are. Others study nature and biology, and again, that's a noble, dignified study, especially as you consider the intricacies and complexities of nature. Well, believe it or not, there is a study far greater, far more noble, and far more dignified than studying the vastness of the heavens and studying the minute intricacies of nature. And that is the study of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you say that there is no greater field of study than Jesus, because He's the creator of all things, whether in the heavens or the earth or things visible, invisible, He made it all. He's the sustainer of all things. He holds all things together by the very breath of His word. And He's the purpose behind all things. All things were made through Him and for Him. And so realize there's no greater study, no greater object of delight than the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no study more profitable for our souls than that of Jesus. And why is that? Well, because of what Ephesians 3:8 tells us. There is in Christ unsearchable riches. I wonder, is that how you see Jesus? Is that how you think about Him? That here is one who is a treasure trove of riches. How often when you face trials and disappointments and discouragement, is He the first one you run to for resources to find hope and strength and courage in your trials? I wonder how precious and how delightful is the study of Jesus to your life. And my goal this evening is actually quite simple. All I want us to do is ponder again the riches of Jesus. As this week, as we give ourselves to teach children about Jesus, let us be enthralled about Jesus. Let us be enthralled of who He is and what He's done. In fact, I listened to a sermon on this text yesterday, and this preacher, his title really sums up my goal this evening. His title was this: I just want to talk about Jesus. I just want us to consider beautiful things about Him so that we would see what riches we have in Him. That word unsearchable doesn't mean unknowable. No, it simply means that His riches are impossible to fully grasp. They're inexhaustible. Yet even though we cannot fully comprehend His riches, we can know something of them. We can delight in them, can't we? That's the whole point of this verse. The very fact that Paul preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ tells us, doesn't it, that they can be known and that they therefore can be enjoyed. But what are some of the riches of Christ? And we could preach a whole series on this, but I want to focus on a few of His riches. See, these are riches that the Gentiles, unbelievers, need to hear. And therefore, in a sense, they are riches that meet us in our very need. They are riches that meet us in our poverty. And so, are you here this evening and you are enslaved to your sin? Do you feel burdened by the guilt of your sin, your many failures, your shortcomings? Realize sin impoverishes us. Sin robs us of good, Jeremiah 5:25. Sin steals life and strength from us. Sin invites God's judgment upon us. His disfavor, His wrath, His separation from us. So, well, dear friend, if that is you, if you're struggling with sin and the poverty of sin, realize Jesus is rich in forgiveness. You see that in Ephesians 1:7, Paul says that in Him we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Paul says it another way in Colossians 1:14. He says that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sin. So see, without the shedding of blood, there cannot be forgiveness for sin because a price needs to be paid for sin. Well, Christ in His riches, in His overabundance, has paid that price. And He's paid a ransom to purchase a people for Himself. And that redemption price was His own precious blood. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 19, we are reminded that forgiveness isn't cheap. As Peter says there, it was purchased not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, that like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. So you realize we are impoverished because of our sin, we are guilty because of it, yet in Christ, there we find forgiveness. the riches of His forgiveness. See, there is Christ with His precious blood, and He clothes us with His forgiveness. He cleanses us. He removes us, removes all our sin from us to forgive us all of all our iniquities. And so even when you feel smeared dirty by your sin, know that Jesus has paid for your forgiveness. But there's more of Christ which is the seed. Did you ever feel troubled by your failures? Did you feel that you're just too wicked to be forgiven? You know that he forgives. You know that His blood purchases salvation for you. But you don't feel you see your sin daily. You know you fall short. Well, again, we can praise God because in Christ He is rich with righteousness. Not only does Christ in His riches wash us clean of the filth of our sin, the dirt and the defilement of our sin, but He comes and He clothes us with His own righteousness. Romans 5:17, Paul speaks of the unrighteousness of man through Adam that is ours, and he contrasts that with the righteousness of Christ. He says, for if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of His grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. But see, while we were dirty in our sin, while our most righteous deeds were but filthy rags before God, Jesus in His riches clothes us in His garments of pure, beautiful righteousness. Now we know this verse so well, but we must never take it for granted. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Does that verse not amaze you? Does it not amaze you that your sin was placed in Him, that He became your sin, so that His righteousness would be yours? You need not know, therefore stand in your own righteousness. You need not depend upon it. No, you have His. Or thirdly, to point us to another one of His riches, are you longing for a place to belong? Or are you scared that no one will accept you because of your failures? Are you an outcast? Do you feel rejected by men and despised by this world? Well, again, Christ is rich, so rich that in Him we are accepted. In Christ we find the riches of forgiveness, of righteousness, but in light of all of that, the acceptance that belongs to children of God. In Ephesians 1:5, Paul says of the Father that He in love he predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we find acceptance because in Christ we are adopted into the family of God, and therefore Paul assures us, chapter 2:19, that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. See, this adoption is, and this acceptance is more glorious when we remember who we were. Strangers and rebels, enemies of God, by nature hostile in mind, haters of God, doing evil deeds after our own desires. Yet now in Christ, we're accepted. We're welcomed as children. Or perhaps you're here this evening and you just feel hopeless. You feel that there's nothing to look forward to. This world and its struggles are overbearing. It's just bad news wherever you look. Well, surprise, surprise, in Christ, He is rich and He's rich in hope. Ephesians 1:3, we read that the Father has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Blessings in the heavenly places. In fact, in Ephesians 1:18, Paul speaks of the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Peter says something similar in 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Let's realize that as forgiven, righteous, adopted children of God, we are fellow heirs with Christ. And therefore, we await a great inheritance. An inheritance that stretches from this life into eternity. Which means that no matter the turmoil that you face in this life, no matter the loss and the pain that you experience here and now, no matter the pain and the suffering that afflicts you, we have in Christ a glorious, hope-filled inheritance. Gregory of Nyssa, an early church father, noticed that he said that the worldly riches are like snow. They're here one day, but with the changing of the season, they slowly melt away. And see, so it is with the hope of those who are in Christ. They have an unfading hope that doesn't melt away. Riches in Christ that are eternal. That we get to enjoy something of them now, and they will stretch into all eternity. Or perhaps you're here this evening and you're discouraged and you're downcast. You feel that no one cares. You're overwhelmed by your own anxiety and your fear. Well, again, what comfort it is to know that Christ is rich and He is rich in love. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, Paul says that it's from Christ's glorious riches that we are strengthened to know His love. It's His riches that enable us to know that He loves us. In Ephesians 5:2, Paul says, we walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. We need to see then and understand that Christ is rich in compassion and love and kindness. We're told in Matthew 9:36 that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And we see that throughout His ministry, don't we? Whether it's for the sick or the downcast or the demon-possessed or the lepers, whether it's for the paralyzed, the grieving, the burdened, again and again He shows compassion, care, love. And make no mistake about it, this Jesus is still rich in love. He has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, unlike this world with its pitiless indifference, know that Christ isn't indifferent. No, He loves. He overflows with riches of love and compassion and kindness. Did you find your church? The point I'm trying to make this evening quite simply is this: no matter the need that you have all you really need in Christ. Thomas Brooks says this: we stand in need of one that is rich. Rich in grace to pardon us, rich in power to support us, rich in goodness to relieve us, and rich in glory to crown us. And surely we can say that Jesus is the one we need. He is the one we can turn to for all those things. Now, William Dyer was right when he said this: whoever has Christ cannot be poor, and whoever lacks Christ cannot be rich. And we know, don't we, why Christ makes us rich. We know why, what He did to accomplish all this, to give us His riches. We know that He was rich and became poor for us. I remember what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that by His poverty you might become rich." Which means, dear friends, when you're reminded of your own poverty in this life, when you're exposed to your own needs in this world, when you're laid low by the trials and the troubles, run to and rest in the riches of Christ. Meditate upon Him. Go to that treasure trove of Christ. Find the pearl of great price that is Christ. Rest in Him. Make Him your first stop as you face trials. Consider a few images of Christ used in the Bible. I was tempted to give you 20, but let me just give you 10 this evening. According to the Bible, He is the arm of the Lord, Isaiah 53, who upholds us and sustains us. He is the bread of life, John 6, who feeds us and satisfies us with good. He is the living stone upon whom we are built as a spiritual house to the glory of God. He is the vine that gives us life and produces growth and fruit. He's the great physician who heals us of all our disease and sickness. He's the Son of Righteousness who brings healing in His wings. He's the door who leads us to the way of safety and security. He's the light of the world who leads us out of darkness into His presence. He's the Lion of Judah who fights and conquers our enemies. He's the resurrection and the life who gives eternal life. Even after we die, we know we are alive in Him. Truly, there is none like Christ, and truly, there is none so rich as those who have Christ. An older author put it this way: in Christ, there is divine life to quicken, supernatural light to direct, infallible wisdom to counsel, all power to aid and defend, spiritual joy to cheer and encourage, heavenly bread to feed and sustain, glorious robes of righteousness to clothe, and excellent grace to adorn. Indeed, there is none so rich as those who have Christ. But the question is, what do we do with these riches? If Christ is so rich, so unsearchably rich, what do we do with that? May I suggest you two options this evening. The first is take hold of Christ's riches with faith. See, without faith it is impossible to please God, and without faith it is impossible to enjoy the pleasures of Christ's riches. Now, James Smith describes faith this way. He said that faith is the eye that sees the beauty of Christ. It is the foot that travels to Christ. It is the hand that lays hold of Christ. It is the mouth which tastes the sweetness of Christ. Or perhaps listen to how Paul puts it, Romans 10:12. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him." And to realize we need to call on Him. We need to trust Him. We need to cry out to Him with faith. In the light of our own poverty, cry out to Him, cling to Him. Even this evening, if you do not know Him, make sure you know Him. And realize we don't just call upon Him once. No, we call upon Him daily. We call upon Him with fervency and zeal, because we're always in need. And He gives us more than we need. During the Great Depression, there was a man called Mr. Yates. He owned a very large piece of land where he raised sheep, and yet the reality for him was one of continual struggle. Year in, year out, he faced financial problems. Year in, year out, he struggled to make ends meet. Year in, year out, he was on the brink of bankruptcy. And then out of nowhere, when he was at his lowest point, an oil company, believing there would be oil in his land, asked permission to drill. And lo and behold, as soon as they started drilling there, they found the largest oil deposit in North America. And so overnight, Mr. Yates was a billionaire. And I share that because here's an amazing story of this man struggling in poverty for many years on end, struggling with failure after failure to survive. Yet all the while, amidst all these struggles, he was actually very rich. And I do wonder, perhaps we are spiritual Yates. We struggle year in, year out with various trials and doubts and fears and discouragements and guilts. We struggle year in, year out with spiritual poverty. And all the while, we're completely unaware of the riches we already have in Christ. Riches that we've missed because we've missed Him. Because we've not studied Him. We've not looked to Him. We've not run to Him. We've not looked to Him as that great and noble object of study. We've not looked upon Him as that great pearl of great price. And so, dear church, dear Christian, let us take hold of Christ again. As we face trials, as we face struggles, year in, year out, let us lay hold of Him again with faith. But there's a second response to Christ's riches, not just to take hold of His riches. Especially in light of the Bible Club, we must share Christ's riches with the faithless. I realize we are living in a city filled with spiritual Yates. Men, women, children who are troubled. Men and women who are perhaps rich in this world, but they're poor towards God. They're striving to be rich, to be satisfied. And yet, they stay poor because they do not yet know Christ. They're not rich towards God in Christ. I realize the people you meet in the streets will be enslaved to sin. They'll be troubled by their failures. They'll be burdened by hopelessness and despair. They're impoverished because they do not know Christ. And realize, dear believer, you have been given the same grace that Paul received. And that's the grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Realize that's the joy that you get to have. You who have tasted and seen the goodness of God, you who have become rich in Christ, you get the grace, the privilege, the joy to go to others and tell them of the riches in Christ. But to do that well, we need to treasure those riches. And as we treasure those riches in Christ, I believe we cannot but help tell others of His riches. And so may the Lord help us as we prepare to do this, as we consider the riches of Christ, as we go into Bible Club mode, may we give ourselves to exalt Christ and Him who is unsearchably rich. Now let's pray together. Our great and glorious Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You have been so good to us. We've sung this evening of Your mercies. We've sung this evening of Your kindness and Your love. We've prayed, even seeking Your face, to be kind to us and to lead us as we give ourselves to the Bible Club. And we do pray, dear Lord, as we do all of these things, as we give ourselves to ministry, as we live out the faith in our city, in our world, we do pray that we would do so as those who are in awe of Christ, as those who want to do nothing but just talk about Jesus, as those who want to revel in His blessings, in His joys, in His delights. We pray that even this evening, as we think on these things that we know perhaps quite well, that we would again treasure Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are so precious. Thank you that you are so rich. Thank you that in our poverty you have overflowed with grace upon grace. And help us to not take that for granted, but help us to share that grace with others as we seek to serve you in this place. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.